Hi, this is Sandy Fowler. I'm the host of Mighty Parenting, and I have a little message for you before we get into today's show. First off, I want to say happy holidays, whether it's Christmas, Hanukkah, solstice, whatever it is that you are celebrating. I hope that you have a very relaxed, peaceful, fun, joy-filled holiday. And remember, when your kids are home, they're home from college, they're off school, if they're out on their own and they're coming in to visit, relax, enjoy them, listen, take notes from all those episodes we've listened to, right, about how to really listen to our kids to communicate well by just hearing what they have to say without worrying about what we're going to say. Also, pay attention. See if they're doing okay, especially the kids who've come home from college. Just kind of observe and let them know that you're there for them, whatever it is that they need or that they want. It's an important time for them as they're growing up, as they're experiencing so many new things. It's also important for them to really know that their parents are there for them and home is a safe space. I also wanted to let you know, if you are looking to the new year and looking to reduce stress in your life, that I do have some spaces in my coaching practice. I help people relieve the stress and anxiety in their life. So you can visit sandyfowler.com. That's Sandy with a Y, Fowler, F-O-W-L-E-R.com. And find out what I have available in coaching or send me a message and we can set up a phone call to chat a little and see whether it's a good idea for us to work together, whether I can really help you with what's going on. And about today's show. So this is actually the New Year's Eve episode from last year that Judy and I recorded. And I wanted to share it with you again because I think it's incredibly powerful. New Year's resolutions can hold a lot of weight in our life and they can work for us or against us. And I don't like the way people end up getting hurt by them. So I really wanted to share the insights and the ideas that Judy and I shared with you last year. So please excuse a little weirdness about us referencing things that we talked about for 2018, because it is the show from December of 2018. But I hope that you enjoy listening to it again as much as I did when I went through it. Today's episode of the Mighty Parenting Podcast is brought to you by Acree, the on-demand virtual writing tutor for students. And Acree has a quick tip for all of us parents today. It's a reminder that our students' college admissions essays should be interesting, but also concise. So they need to be at least 250 words, but no more than 650 words. Be sure that the child includes as many concrete details about themselves as possible, because this is their chance to tell admissions counselors who they really are. You can learn more and try out Acree's free trial at acree.com, E-C-R-E-E.com.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the community where we help you raise teens and parent your 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, here with my co-host and partner in crime, Judy Davis. And today we are, well, first of all, Happy New Year, because this is the New Year's Eve show. And so with that, Judy and I wanted to talk about New Year's resolutions. And we both see them a little bit differently, but, or I shouldn't say we see them differently, we feel differently about them. And you will hear that in a minute, because I'm sure as soon as Judy starts talking, you will hear the frustration and disdain in her voice about New Year's resolutions. And I do in general agree there are serious issues around them. And what bothers me about it is not whether you make resolutions or don't make resolutions, whether you keep them or don't keep them. That's not the part that bothers me or why I wanted to talk about it on the podcast. What concerns me is what it does to us, what we do to ourselves if we don't make a resolution and, you know, we feel bad and we feel guilty about it and we get all those shoulds and everything going in our heads and that negative self-talk, saying mean things to ourselves about it. Or if you make the resolution, and I know many people start going, oh yeah, I'm making resolutions, but I'll never do it, and basically call themselves a failure before they start, or they set them up and try and don't make it and then beat themselves up. That's mm-hmm. the part that really worries me, is that we've heard from our experts this year how important it is to be kind to yourself and to speak to yourself and to your children in a loving and supportive way. And New Year's resolutions are someplace that we don't do that. So I really wanted to talk with you, Jude, about how to actually utilize these in your life, if you're going to do them or not do them, but how to actually achieve a resolution if you want to, or happily go with not doing them. And now you can share your disdain and frustration.
Well, I don't, you know, it's funny because one, I think of resolutions and everything in me kind of turns over and kind of makes me queasy. But I think I have to back up a bit before I can really explain why that happens. This time of year for me is such a moment of reflection. And I think it begins with Thanksgiving, where I am really focused on being grateful and thankful for what's happened this year. And I start, it kind of kicks off, Thanksgiving kicks off a period or a season, if you will, that has me very reflective and looking at my entire life, what's working, what isn't, how I've grown this year, or how I've kind of let things fall by the wayside, or things I want to improve. And when it comes to Christmas, then it's all about creating those memories and really just embracing the joy of that season and really kind of looking at it all in awe. And then New Year's comes, and I think that I now have to fix all the things I've been grateful for and looking at and everything else. And if I don't have a plan and I don't have a resolution to do that, then I'm a failure. So it's like I go from this warm, fuzzy place of reflection to this gotta get it done place. And it almost negates the goodness that I created from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day. So I find myself getting more anxious as the new year rolls around, or I used to anyway. And it goes back to a question that I asked myself probably 5-6 years ago, is like, why am I making a resolution that is just setting myself up? And what it boiled down to was, through all that reflection during the holidays, there were things that I was able to identify that I wanted to change or adjust. And I gave myself one shot to do it. On January 1st, you better have the plan and execute that plan perfectly to fix the things that weren't perfect in the year before. And so every year, the same thing happened. I'd be gung-ho, go, 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 and then life would happen. And then I'm beating myself up because I didn't fix anything that I needed to fix. And I knew I had to look at change in a whole different way. And we'll get into that. But that's why I don't like resolutions. It's not that, I just feel like they set us up. I've found some ways that are much more empowering than setting a resolution.
Well, and it is. It's a new year. It's a fresh start. It's not the only time you can do that. Personally, for me, fall is actually the time of year that I feel more like it's time for a fresh start, just that carryover from all those years of going to school and then having kids going to school. And I think it's that time too that there isn't the pressure on me. This whole New Year's resolution thing, there is definitely pressure around that. And so I had quit, quote unquote, making resolutions a number of years ago, and I ignored it for a few years and went, I'm just not participating in that. And then I started wading in and finding my way back to, okay, you know, it's that place of I want to change my life. Rather than I want to make a New Year's resolution, I want to change my life. And I think that that's an interesting point, because you and I have both already kind of said that.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, we moved beyond the idea of making a resolution to saying, hey, we want to change our life. And truthfully, that's what a New Year's resolution is supposed to be.
Well, and it's not, I mean, can I clarify something? Are you saying, when you say change your life, instantly that felt really heavy to me. And I know you well enough to know it's not that you want to change your whole life. You want to change certain things within your life. Am I correct?
Well, for me, typically that's the case. And I think probably for most people when you're doing a New Year's resolution, but there are also lots of people who want their whole life to change. Like they're either unhappy or they're restless or they know something's not working and they can't pinpoint it. So they kind of go, it's my whole life. And I've seen people do that and then make a resolution and hang their hat on that, like, this resolution has to fix their whole life.
Mm.
So I think it can be either. For me, no, typically, you know, New Year's resolutions were not where I did like
major life changes.
Major life changes. I was going to say not a big thing, and that's not true either. And I'll get into that a little bit more as we discuss this. But yeah, that's not when I would do a major life change. I'm a little slower about a major life change than going, okay, it's New Year's. We're doing this. I'm definitely a wade into the water one step at a time, walking into the pool. I'm not jumping off the high dive to get in there.
Right. So, you know, when we look at resolutions, I always like to say, you know, what's working? What worked for me? And what I find that as opposed to, and we can call them resolutions if you want. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Because it's that time of year, and individually, people can call them whatever they want. But this is our New Year's show, our New Year's resolution show. So from a terminology standpoint, let's use that terminology. And if you're a person who hates New Year's resolutions, fine, don't use that terminology. What Judy and I are sharing are ideas and philosophies and some key steps to take whenever you want to make a change in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the first thing that I have found, and I've taught this to people, I speak about it, when you want to create a change, whether it be with a resolution or at any other point in time, it's important that you look at change as a process, not as a moment in time that everything is going to shift. And when we say a resolution that we make on New Year's Day, it's almost as if there's an unwritten parameter on it that has a time stamp that if we don't see the results within that moment, it's a failure. And we're disappointed in ourselves. So I would challenge all of our listeners, when you're looking at making shifts and making changes and doing things to improve the quality of your life and how you interact with the people in it, look at change as a process, not an instantaneous moment. Because when you look at it as a process, you do open yourself up to look at the different types of solutions that can still make that resolution come true. When we make a resolution, oftentimes we think there's a certain way that it should play out. And we attach ourselves to that system that we came up with to make that goal or that resolution come to fruition. And if we can just open up our scope and say it's a process, sometimes that initial way we thought we could make that resolution happen needs to adjust to fit in our lives.
Right. And I want to get into the plan a little, but before we do that, you touched on something that is key right here. And you continued to talk about it without necessarily naming it that way. And that is failure. And you said, you know, oh, you know, we set this up and we say, I'm going to do this. And if we don't do it and do it exactly the way we planned it the first time, we're a failure. And this is one of my, it's not quite a pet peeve. Again, it's more an area of a big concern. And it's one of the things we've talked about a lot in parenting. And that is how, as a culture, we perceive failure. And one of the shifts we need to make, and New Year's resolutions are a great time to practice it, is to expect failure and embrace it. So when you say, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week, I'm going to go Monday through Friday, I'm going to the gym, and it's the third week of January, and that week you've only gone once, instead of beating yourself up, you go, ooh, wait a minute, there's a failure here. There's an opportunity to learn. Okay, what is it that's stopping me from going to the gym? Is it because my kids were sick or they, you know, needed a ride or something? Is it because my car broke down or we have three or four people sharing a car and, oh, I don't have access to a vehicle Monday through Friday all the time? You know, instead of beating ourselves up, we go back and we go back to, you know, Thomas Edison and, no, I haven't failed. I've just found, and I don't remember the number, however many ways, you know, 1,000 ways that don't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's part of making it a process.
Yes, that's what you said, process, and you said failure. And then as you kept talking, I kept seeing that same thread through what you were saying is that's the point of a process, right? We try something. We go, okay, this worked. This didn't. So let's tweak it. And sometimes it's about tweaking our process, and sometimes it's about changing our expectations and realizing that, huh, maybe what we thought was a good idea or good expectation up front wasn't even the right mm-hmm. thing for us in that moment in time, or it was too much for us and we need to take a smaller piece, or right. we need to learn something else before we can take that piece.
Mm-hmm. And so often our expectations, what I see happening is our expectations are tied to a specific timeline. You know, that is where expectations with resolution seems to blow up when I'm talking to people and personal experience. It's that something should change in a certain time period, and we don't recognize, or we have an idea of what the end game or the end goal of that resolution is and what it looks like and how we pictured it in our head. And if it doesn't look exactly like how we pictured it, then all the things, the good things that happened along the way are negated.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it sets us up for disappointment. I mean,
it does. Yeah, it does. And the other thing is, along that same line, oftentimes our resolution, our decision to change any time through the year, whatever, that a lot of times when we state what it is, we state the change or we state the resolution, we are really focusing on some end goal that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, and especially, and I think the reason that this is so poignant around New Year's resolutions is because that's when we tend to tackle the things that are also big for us emotionally. Weight and smoking and bad habits and, you know, the big things that really touch us emotionally. This is a time where we do that kind of thing. And it's something that, you know, we have tried and failed many times before, oftentimes. But let's take weight. You know, basically, we'll do a New Year's resolution and say, my resolution is I'm going to lose 10 pounds. That's not a resolution. And that's not a change. That's a goal. we need to go back in into this. You said change is a process. The first thing we need to do is go, okay, what action am I going to take? That's what a resolution or a change can be, is a specific action step.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I see resolutions being centered around all the things we don't like about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what it is we're trying to create to give us a better life, you know, just to give us better life satisfaction and life quality, right? We go, these are the things that I don't like about myself. Therefore, I need to create a resolution to change those to fit into the mold that will make me like myself better. And that's the disconnect for me, is if I could wave a magic wand and make resolutions about what is it that I'm trying to create and how can I do that more effectively, as opposed to, I don't like this about myself, so I need to change it because that will get me what I need.
Okay, I love the way you said that. I'd had some thoughts around that, but the way you said that is so helpful and so clarifying.
And we all can do that. If we, it's like when we look at it not as a instantaneous thing that has to be fixed, we can actually move forward in our lives. And it's not about that 5-day a week workout. It's about making the commitment to take care of yourself. And sometimes that's working out, and sometimes that's vegging out, and sometimes that's eating differently, and sometimes that's going out and sledding down a hill. It's doesn't have to look a certain way, because when it does, then we've taken it out of a process and turned it into a moment. And when we evaluate things in a moment, we don't get a full picture.
I was struggling for a minute keeping up with you on that, but what I realized, because I was thinking about it, because preparing for this show has gotten me thinking about, okay, am I going to make any New Year's resolutions? And if so, what are they going to be? And one of mine is focused around, quote unquote, getting to the gym. But as you were talking, what I realized is that it's because I've already gone through the process of figuring out what taking care of me does mean. And I know that part of that is just moving. Whether I walk casually on a treadmill for 2 miles or do what I call my floor exercises, which is a combination of, you know, stretches and yoga poses that I've kind of put together, or I actually go to a yoga class, or my daughter convinces me to go to spin class with her. It doesn't really matter what it is. I just know that that shifts my life. And I also know that it doesn't work for me to set a goal and say, okay, I'm going to go do an elliptical for 30 minutes 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
But for me to say, I'm going to get my butt out of bed and go to the Y on these days or 3 days a week, whatever. I don't put any restriction on what that has to look like when I get there. Because for going through this process over the last few years, actually many years, because I never worked out regularly in my life. It was one of those things. It would be like a New Year's resolution, whether it happened at New Year's some other time. Yeah, you sign up, you get the gym membership, and you show up for a few weeks or a couple of months, and poof, gone. And not that I have gone steadily for the last 2 or 3 years. I've had some big gaps where, you know, maybe I didn't go to the Y at all for a month, or I went 3 times in 2 months because whatever, things happened. I lost my motivation. Then I would get back on the horse. But I learned that it was about accepting that I do what I do when I get there thing. That was sort of that failure and process piece, is that's not a failure. I did what I wanted to do. I got up, I got there. When I get there, I'll do something. I'm not going to go and drive there and then not do anything. But when I listen to me and I'm honest with myself about what works and what doesn't, then I want to go back. But if I go there and say, all right, you have to go and you have to do this. Well, one, it's a lot harder to motivate myself to even walk out the door in the first place. And two, I didn't listen to what I needed. I didn't honor what I felt like on that day. And so I was miserable, which makes it even harder to go next time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's really about, you know, as I listen to both of us and everything, it almost boils down to when we choose and look at things in a more holistic way, then we're able to take the pressure off and make those small shifts in our life that will move us towards the ultimate life that we're trying to create. You know, whatever that looks like for you, it's not about one decision you make on January 1st. It's about all the little things you do day in and day out that move you slowly either towards that ideal life or away from it. You know, we've talked about the book,
The Slight Edge.
The Slight Edge by
Jeff Olson.
By Jeff Olson, right. And it is so powerful and it's so simple. It's that what thing are you willing and able to do right now that will move you forward?
Tiny shifts. And that is what he talks about. He said, tiny, consistent actions, tiny, consistent choices, and they mm-hmm. just add up. And again, the New Year's resolution thing is oftentimes about the big thing. Okay, it's New Year's. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop eating sugar. Well, yeah, I may
what stop does that look like?
For a while, but yeah, I'm like, am I never going to eat another piece of birthday cake? Am I, you know, what does that actually look like in my life on a day-to-day basis? Right.
And when you make it like that, I'm going to stop doing this, you've given yourself an ultimatum with no wiggle room. And that is the quickest way to throw it out the window and just go back to life before, because that's easier. We stay in that comfort zone because we know we can deal with life in that place. When right. we change, we have to learn a new way of managing and dealing with things.
Well, and that,
yeah.
And so that idea, Judy, when we change, we have to learn a new way of managing and dealing with things. So that goes back to accepting failure as not only part of the process, but embracing it as a learning system, recognizing that change is a process, and taking those, you know, those small actions, those small choices toward the life we want. Also, back to the holistic idea. That goes so hand in hand with making the small shifts. We talked about this concept that we tend to do grandiose things. We tend to choose to say we're changing something in our life without the plan for it. Same thing with giving things up. When we look at it holistically and go, for me, you know, okay, why am I eating sugar? That's one of my unhealthy coping strategies. But that's not the only reason that I will eat sugar. And there are different reasons, different points in time that different things come up. And some of them are okay and won't derail me. If I'm having a piece of birthday cake because I'm at a birthday party and I haven't been eating sugar regularly, it's not an issue. But if I can look at it and go, okay, well, I do this when I'm stressed, or I do this as an avoidance, then it's not just, okay, I'm not going to eat sugar. It's like, okay, so if I'm eating it because I'm stressed, let's look at this holistically and go, all right, so what else could I do? What other coping strategy can I bring in? Same kind of thing with smoking or drinking. You know, these are things people do to deal with stress and anxiety and uncomfortable feelings. Well, just telling ourselves we're going to stop using the coping strategy we've been using for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, that's setting ourselves up not just for a failure, not for a good failure. That's setting us up ourselves up for beating ourselves up for being a useless human being. Mm-hmm. But if we go to that holistic place and say, okay, why am I doing this thing that I don't want to do? Or why do I not do this thing that's really good for me that will move me closer to the life I want? And we take that holistic view of it, then we can find better small shifts to make.
So I love that. And it just made me get this vision in my head of a different way to look at resolutions. If we look at resolutions like a mirror held up in front of our face, and just a thing of, why do I want to make this change? And really dig, then we'll get to the thing that we really need to change. And it may be just our ability to love ourselves and like what we see in the mirror. It may be that, you know, I'm tired of feeling tired all the time. Whatever the reason, if you dig deep enough and keep asking yourself, and why is that? And why is that? And dig, you'll get to the thing that you can shift. Like you said, make those small shifts. You'll actually get to the thing that you need to shift, and all the rest will fall into place. It's when we try and do the big thing up top, we don't change that foundational strategy or coping mechanism, then we are in this twirl all the time and we don't win.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you 100%. And I don't want to, it's too much of an aside to get into the why game. So we'll put that in our support community stuff.
Exactly.
Go to mightyparenting.com/support or click on the menu in the support piece. You'll be able to get to the extras. But yes, the thing we think we want to change isn't necessarily the thing we need to change. Or in order to change that thing, the path, which you mentioned right at the beginning, right? You said a lot of times we're taking the wrong path. Mm-hmm. We've decided what this should look like based on either our past or on what society thinks. Well, neither of those things has helped us make that change before. So if we look in the mirror and have that conversation with ourselves about why we want to change it or why we do it and what go to that root cause place, then we are becoming more effective and following that up with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do this? And we are total advocates. I truly love The Slight Edge. It's one of the first self-improvement books that I ever read. And you and I were over the moon. In fact, I looked it up to make sure that, you know, it was still available on Amazon and discovered there's a newer version. So I'm thinking I got to get the newer version and go through it again, because I've changed a lot since we first discovered that. But that was the lesson that stuck with both of us, was make tiny choices, tiny actions that move you closer to what you want every single day.
Exactly. And so, which kind of leads me to, while I don't make a resolution, I do choose a focus word for the coming year. I've done it for the last 4 years in a row, and it's so powerful because that's my barometer to check my actions and my plan against. Because if I just have a word that I'm focused on for the year, as opposed to a resolution that has an exact vision of what success looks like, then I'm setting myself up in a much better way.
Okay, I don't understand how that plays out. I mean, I can get the concept of a focus word, mm-hmm. is a very big general concept, but I need you to explain this to me. How do you pick one? What do you mean by that? And how do you use it?
So I think of the things that I want to improve in my life, whatever it be. So this year for 2018, when the year started out, my focus word was self-care. Because I realized in my, from Thanksgiving in 2017 until Christmas, I realized that I had let my self-care fall by the wayside. I had stopped putting my health as a priority in my life, and it was manifesting in a lot of stuff, and baggage was crazy. So instead of going, I want to lose weight and I want to go to the gym and do these things, I chose to focus on self-care. And I was not attached at all to what that meant or what that looked like. So every day when I wake up in the morning, I have my little thing right by my bed and on my phone that says, focus on self-care.
So okay, I'm just going to interrupt you for a second because you probably told me this, but from 12 months ago, I don't remember that conversation.
I probably didn't.
Okay.
And I probably didn't.
And I've lived this with you, not because you were telling me how this was your resolution for the year or this was your focus for the year, but I've seen you, I'm trying to think of the way to explain it because it's so all-encompassing. It is so much more than a resolution could ever be in and of itself. Right. Because you're right, we tend to put a resolution around just one specific action, whereas you set it for not a specific action, but a specific purpose. And right. you did end up losing weight. You did end up getting healthier. You changed completely. You went to a whole new way of working out, but that's just that one sort of
physical. I went to a whole new way of living.
You went to a whole new, but you, because you did that, you did changed the way you eat. I don't want to even use the word diet because you weren't you weren't going, oh, I need to diet.
No.
You changed the way you ate. You changed the way you looked at what a portion size is and what healthy food is. I mean, you literally changed the way you ate. You also did this. This is the piece that's a little harder to say, but it's that I can't even call it a lifestyle choice, even though it's kind of what it is. Drawing boundaries, deciding where you're going to put your time and your energy, deciding what just total activities you're going to do in your life, whether it was work or our friendship or your family. You know, you, as I look back now and think back, I can totally see that focus word was at the core of all of those things that you did. And when I put it all together, I'm like, oh my gosh, you did. You completely changed that aspect of your life this year.
Right. And that's why resolutions to me are worthless. Because I shouldn't say worthless.
I say that really, that one stuck me because
yeah, I don't mean worthless because that's not true. I had this taken
for you.
For me, a resolution just set me up to fail and feel disappointment and all the insecurities that I have. If you've listened to the show at all year, you will know that I have stuff that is challenging for me and I've had to learn to change that. And it's in choosing a focus theme or a focus word is where I've found power. And where I've found my ability to make changes that are actually serving me as opposed to sabotaging me. Because I can be very self-sabotaging when I think, and resolutions and words and things like that, I believe are very, very personal. I don't believe that the world, like you even said, you're one of the people I talk to daily. My husband doesn't even know my word because it's very personal, because that's the shift that I have chosen to carry through the self-discovery that happens from Thanksgiving to New Year's. And then I have a focus for the year.
So
and I'm not sure how, you know.
Well, so I'm trying to understand now how this works, but I have to just interject something and I don't want to go down this and talk about it a lot, but we got into that little thing there. It's like, because for me personally, I might try a focus word strategy, but and see how that works, because change is a process. But again, through my attempts and failures and learning, I generally need something more specific. So the way that you can't do something specific, I need something more mm-hmm. specific. So I just wanted to point that out, because if I was just listening and thought, oh my gosh, I have to do this focus word thing, then I would be in that boat that you find yourself in when you do a resolution about the right. specific thing. So, but that set that aside for a second. I want to understand how this focus word played. Like, was it just something that was in the back of your mind because you said it at the beginning of the year and then you didn't consciously go back to it?
Oh, did no.
Every like morning. Measure every decision against it? I mean, how does that work?
I looked at it every morning. And then at the beginning of the year, it was harder. It took me about 3 months to begin to kind of ask myself the question, is this caring for yourself or is this caring for everyone but yourself? And there are times that I could say, oh, this is totally caring for me. And then there were times that I'd be like, fall into my old patterns of taking care of everyone else before me. But what I noticed by looking at that word every day, the amount of time that I spent taking care of other people's needs before my own shrank drastically. And by the holidays and by this time of year, after in that focus all year long, I can't be in the place without feeling anxious and uncomfortable that isn't self-care as the core. I know it was like slowly small little decisions, small little ways of making myself a priority, small little things of not worrying if everyone else had what they needed before I had what I needed. You know, if I needed to take time off, if I needed to eat a certain way. I mean, we've talked about it on the show when we went to a conference together. And it worked out perfectly for us, but there was no wiggle room for what I needed to do while I was at that conference to make sure that I was taking care of me.
Yeah, but you weren't.
I wasn't anxious about it.
No, I mean, you know, when we got there, you were just kind of like, okay, you know, this is what I'm planning to do for food and I kind of need to work out. It's not like you said it. This is my schedule. I don't care about anybody else. I don't care what anybody else needs. It wasn't that. It was just, okay, these are the things I need. And we're at this conference. We're both here. Obviously, you know, Sandy, you need things too. And, you know, we need to take care of our business. It's why we're here. But it was like, you just spoke up for what you needed. And we very easily and naturally figured out how to fit all of our needs in and the needs of our business into each day. And we'd made some choices because we couldn't do everything that was possible. But because we'd had the discussion about what our higher priorities were, it just flowed and it was easy to do. But so your focus on your key word just gave you the impetus to bring up at the beginning.
To be able to set the boundaries, to be able to express my needs, to be okay with expressing my needs. And that's the shift. It's like when we're, you know, taking us all the way back to resolutions, they can be powerful when they come from the actual need or the are coming and become a healthy coping strategy. That's where the power of a resolution can move us forward. It's when we do it from a place of I should, or I'm bad because I do this, so it has to stop. That's not enough reason to keep going, at least in my experience. I need to dig down deep inside and find out why I even got there in the first place to make me have this thing going on that I need to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's, you know, take away anything, and I know we can talk about this for hours, but to do the takeaway, it is about what is the thing that you want to shift in your life?
Yeah, big or small. I mean, the shift can be a tiny little thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be huge. I mean, that shift you're talking about is, to me, that's a really huge core, you know, it's a shift, a huge shift in you all the way to your core. A New Year's resolution doesn't have to be about that, nor did you start out the first time that you tried moving away from a traditional resolution. You didn't.
Oh, gosh, no. No,
I mean,
no, no.
You know, it took you probably years, I'm assuming, to come up with this and to figure out, you know, how it works for you. And not that it always worked this year either. I'm
right.
Pretty certain of that.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I've chosen, like I said, I've chosen a focus word for the last probably 6 years. And this year is the first time it's ever truly stuck and permeated all along. It was trial and error the years before.
Well, and that's what we're talking about, right? This is about failing. It's like I was talking about with working out. I never figured out how to work out until my late 40s. And again, for me, it's more about some specific tasks or actions. But it was still going back to that, well, wait a minute, what do I really need to do? What actually makes me feel better? Not what does everyone else say I have to do? What actually feels good to me? And then it was kind of like, how can I tie some incentives in here? I am an avid reader. I love to read. So if I'm going to go walk on a treadmill, I get to read anything I want. I don't make myself turn that into useful time or business time. And sometimes I choose to do that, but I can just read. I can read whatever I want, or I can listen to the podcast that I want. You know, that's truly me time to do what I want to do. But it was that trial and error along the way, going, what works for me? Little, small action goals. Now, there are other areas of my life where I can have a very involved thing. When we first read The Slight Edge, I still remember I, at that point, had not figured out how to get regular activity and exercise into my life. I can be very, very sedentary. And at that point, I originally had, you know, set up some tiny little exercise goal. And it just felt so heavy and so hard and so awful to even think about it that I went, forget it. I'm not doing that. My thought that I started with was to be healthier. And so I set up this very big and elaborate system around food of, you know, making sure that meals were getting planned and grocery shopping was done. And, you know, when I was going to be taking the time to cook real food and stuff like that. And I had this huge elaborate plan that felt good and went really well because that I was capitalizing on a bunch of little things that I already knew worked. So it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be small. It just needs to get to something that, like you said, Judy, you find your why and you feel like you want this. You want to make this shift. You're doing a positive improvement in your life for yourself for a reason. I want to go one other place real quick. Because we've talked about us. Well, as we've said in the other shows, part of the reason that we're going to us is that our kids learn by watching us. So with New Year's resolutions, have this conversation with them. Let them listen to this podcast if they would do that. I know that, you know, a lot of our kids wouldn't even consider doing that, but you know, share some of the key ideas. Our show notes have highlights from it. Pick a couple things and share with them. Talk about how you're going to do resolutions differently this year or how you're letting go of it because you don't feel it's healthy and good for you. But have the conversation with your kids. Model what you're doing. This is what I'm going to be doing with my girls as we get into the new year here. I haven't done it up to this point because we're all about last year and Christmas and everything. But I'll talk with them about it as we're moving into January here.
I love it. I love it. And that's the thing. It's like we can share with our kids so that they aren't set up for disappointment, that they don't just follow, you know, what society is saying they should do to start the year and create a resolution. Resolutions are personal. And the way that we go about helping them come to fruition is very individual.
It is. And it's very individual. And some of the key things that we've shared, though, to think about as you're making your individual choices is to remember that this is a process, that failure is an essential element of having a successful process. So embrace it. When things don't work, learn from it, dig deeper. Be careful about your expectations, and especially tying them to a timeline. You need to give yourself a chance to let things unfold and play with the failures, and be willing to change your expectations as well as a timeline. And look at things holistically so that you can make a shift toward the life you want. Doing that, remembering that just creating, taking new tiny little actions or non-actions every day is going to move you. And so if you know what your goal is and you choose tiny actions that move you closer to that goal, you will move toward that goal. And if we look at our resolutions as kind of like having a conversation with ourselves in the mirror, holding up the mirror and asking, why do I want to make this change? You know, digging down into that will also help to carry us forward. Because when we understand why we're doing what we're doing and we really dig down and get that direction right in our understanding, it makes all the difference in the world. And you can focus on tiny actions and things that you're doing, or you can try the Judy resolution of picking a focus word or an idea for the upcoming year to just keep you on track and moving closer toward the life that you want without being attached to specifically what actions will take you there. So instead of having a specific action that you define now and say, I'm doing this every day of these different activities, your specific action can be, I'm reminding myself of my focus keyword each day, and then making my decisions and taking actions to take me closer to that.
And using it as a barometer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Happy New Year. We hope that this show will help you kick it off with a bang. And we just want to thank you for joining us today and being part of the Mighty Parenting community. 2018 was our inaugural year, and we couldn't have asked for a better way to kick off Mighty Parenting and helping you raise your teens and parent your 20-somethings in a way that is helpful and makes a difference in your life and in your kids. If this is your first time listening, welcome. And we have a year coming up that will be one to remember, and invite you to go to mightyparenting.com to see all that we have to support you. Remember, you are a mighty parent. And this is Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler. Until next week.